Now. Yes. I come to you this morning humbly and trippingly also. People often say that they would believe in God if he would only show them a sign or appear to them. My response is that every day is filled with all sorts of miracles of creation, starting with each new sunrise. And our Creator did appear as Jesus to thousands of people and even walked among us to tell us all we need to know for 3 years. But he was taunted, condemned, and killed because he was feared. And the people were looking for a warrior king to free a nation instead of a peaceful savior. Ultimately, we need that proverbial leap of faith from within to know him. There was this invitation. Sometimes they come in the mail or as an email or text or, in this case, a personal messenger. This invitation came from the house of a prominent Pharisee. Have you ever received an invitation to a dinner or event and wondered why you were being invited? Well, I certainly have, and I bet you have too. What did you do? As for me, I always ask my wife, why were we invited and who else is going to be there? Right, Marilyn? Have you ever gone to a function and found that you didn't know anybody there? Didn't you feel like you were under a microscope or the only one in the room that was either overdressed or underdressed? Well, Jesus knew why he was being asked for that dinner. He never refused anyone's invitation of hospitality. He was always there, ready to change them or teach them. He would never let a chance go by to help someone. And just like me, Jesus spent a lot of time around food. Meals seemed to be the theme for several of his teachings. Actually, it was a custom in those days for a Pharisee to invite a public figure to dine, and Jesus was just that figure. Sometimes they would invite a person that you needed something from, and sometimes just out of curiosity, you see what this person is all about. Well, Jesus would go, whether a friend or foe. He never mistook the disposition of his host. He accepted greetings where there was no kindness, and on this occasion, there was none. The dinner was a trap. But he did not let the suspicion stop the flow of his gentle way. His meek goodness remained itself in the face of hostile observers. His love for others was greater than their cunning. His purpose in the face of those who wanted to trap him. See, it seems you just can't intimidate Jesus. Just imagine that you've invited someone to your house for a dinner. They were to be the honored guests. You'd pull out all the stops, polish the silver, vacuum the carpet, make sure there were plenty of towels and toilet paper in the bathroom. You certainly would not intentionally make them feel uncomfortable, would you? In those days, people ate not at tables and chairs, but laying on couches. The honored guest would be put in the middle of the room, and the slaves would bring the food to the guests, and people really ate a lot, sometimes too much if you know the rest of that story. And they'd throw the bones or the shells on the floor. What a mess. Now, Jesus was just not any guest. This part of the story is about a glorified manners session. He had to tell the host about the seating arrangement. If you were a guest, you shouldn't take a spot for the guest of honor. That was reserved for those present with the highest ranking of power, wealth, or office that the host wanted to get something from. You should take a lesser place so the host could seat the power person in the right place, sort of like musical chairs, but without the chairs. As usual, Jesus put it this way: for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Possibly some ambitious guest had contrived to seat himself at the place of honor. But the purpose of this was to demonstrate humility. However much we have achieved, we still have achieved very little in the end. However important we may believe ourselves, when the end comes, life and work will go on just the same. Then Jesus tells us who we should be inviting to our parties. Not our friends or relatives, but those less fortunate and challenged. We're not to be looking for a reward in inviting these people, but it is an investment in our ultimate future. We're told in the gospel that Jesus tells his dinner companions they will receive a blessing from God if they simply reinvent what it means to invite people to the table. He invites them and us to take a hard look at how we treat people when we don't expect any reward or dividend. When we extend hospitality and kindness, God blesses us both here and in the future. We shouldn't examine the motives behind all our generosity. Thank you, Jesus. But this church, St. Cuthbert, is very involved in a program of inviting those people that Jesus is talking about to a meal. It's called Lord of the Streets, and I think it should be called Lord on the Streets. A group of fellow parishioners get up real early and head downtown to serve a breakfast to many hundreds that are the homeless or less fortunate. If you've ever been one of those volunteers with Betty Reed and talked to any of those that come for the meal, you really see Jesus in them. Seems the volunteers get as much out of that mission as the recipients. I used to be one of those that helped until I turned the scrambled eggs green and I was never invited back again. But back to the story. There was a man there who was obviously suffering from some malady. We can be pretty sure he was there as a trap for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. Just the sight of him would move Jesus to heal him. Jesus asked if it was against the Jewish law to heal someone on the Sabbath. He knew what he was going to do to the stranger. Actually, according to the Bible, Jesus healed 7 times on a Sabbath. The cure is told without delay, probably because there were no details to tell. No mention if the man asked to be healed or even said thank you after. Silently, he comes on the stage. Silently, he gets his blessing. Silently, he disappears. A real missed permanent relationship with Jesus. Scripture says he then sent him on his way. But without hesitation, Jesus healed the man. He knew perfectly well what they were thinking and then quoted their own law back to them. Interesting that no one spoke up. Even though a Jew was not to do any work on the Sabbath, even the food that was served was prepared for the previous day, a Friday, and kept warm without more cooking. Jesus knew what was going on and healed the man. Then he asked if they would save their child or livestock if they fell in a well on the Sabbath. Again, no answer. Why? Were the other guests afraid to contradict the law? Or were they all in on the conspiracy to set Jesus up for the trap? As far as I can read, we never hear who else was there or how this party ended. Jesus then gives a parable about a rich man inviting people to a banquet. And in Luke 15, he starts in on the famous list of parables that we always love to discuss and hear. And there's another story of a meal. It begins on the night he was betrayed. That meal did not happen among his followers who are of one mind or heart regarding Jesus. To the contrary, Jesus fed his disciples, knowing that he was doing so in the company of a betrayer, one who would cause his death. There might have been some maneuvering for seats at that dinner too. The fact he was aware of what was going to happen places a permanent stamp on all earthly celebrations of the Lord's meal. It comes as a gift from God to sinful human beings, always. This is a meal for the imperfect among us. This meal is for you and for me. When Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks. How could he give thanks on the night he knew he was to be betrayed and later killed? In any case, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also saying, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This supper, the Lord's Supper, is an invitation to be part of his family. We are bound to not only love God, but to love one another. Every day we should give thanks and praise for God's love for them through Jesus Christ. Every day in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Jesus accepted everyone without reservation. He knew everyone inside and out. He knew the good, the bad, and the in-between. He accepted us long before we noticed him. This example of constant, unshakable love is what Christ-like acceptance looks like. We may condemn what others do and disagree with what they believe, but we can still receive them with open arms. Help us to be honest and accepting in our love. When we accept others, it pleases God as well as reveals him to us. It's like giving God a thank you gift for how he wholeheartedly accepts us. Amen. Amen.